Hi, and welcome back to a new How Did You Make It? The podcast in which you explore each step that has built the career path of various individuals through the discovery of their habits, passions, and interests over the last few decades. I'm Yosra, your host, and today we meet Leila. And there is plenty of things to learn from her between her life in Italy, Germany, and Ireland. Within this episode, you will get a chance to realize that you're not the only one being different from your surroundings. You're not the only one being absolutely lost in choosing your higher education path. But most importantly, anything you put your mind into, you will achieve. Let's learn from Leila. Hi, Leila, and welcome to a new How Did You Make It? I'm so happy to have you with us today. I'll just let you introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi to everyone listening. My name is Leila. I'm Italian and I live in Milan, where I work in advertising and marketing at Netflix since nearly a year. I have African roots. I was born in Switzerland and I moved a bit growing up. I recently moved back to Italy after a couple of years abroad. I was in Germany and in Ireland. And about me, I love traveling, picking up new languages, writing. But most of all, I love getting to know new people, people from different cultures, and just being surrounded by new things.
Thank you, Leila, and I can't wait to talk more about your curiosity. You're already sharing with us that you're very curious about learning about different cultures, but we'll deep dive into it a bit later. Now, can you please share with us your definition of success?
That's a great question. I think success, like whenever you'll ask me about this, it might change based on which point of life I am. But for me, it's like reaching a specific goal you have. So it's not a big and definite term that has to guide your life, but it's more in the smaller daily things. I'm losing hair. I need to get the right supplements to stop that. If I manage, that's success for me. I want to get a specific role in my career. I managed to achieve that. That's also success. Different kind of success, but also success. So success for me changes on a daily and weekly basis. And success gives you happiness, which it's like confined also to a specific time for me.
Thank you, Leila. That's such a great reminder. I think we forget about all the achievements that are there between your big, big goal and when you started putting your mind into it. So that is success, that you're consistently going towards it, that you're not giving up. So do celebrate those little moments that are taking you towards your goal. Leila, let's talk about your teenage years, early teenage years, more around age like 13 to 15. What kind of students were you? What was your favorite subject, least favorite one? How were your grades at the time? Did you have any passions, any habits? What can you share with us today?
Yeah, thank you for this question. So it's an interesting one because at the age of 12, was it like between age of 11, 12, I moved from a city to another in Italy. And even though I was in the same country, I went from an international school to an Italian school and to a Catholic private Italian school where there were priests and nuns and a very white community and very different from what I was used to before. What kind of student was I? I was not very confident because I couldn't speak Italian that well. Back in the days, I had a thick British accent when I was speaking Italian, and my friends, classmates were very confused at the person he was and where did I come from and why was I so different. It just took me some time to adapt and to understand that we don't all have the same background. So it's normal that sometimes people are just very surprised, especially at that age, and being the only non-white person in the school together with my siblings was just a surprise also for them. So it was also for them an opportunity for learning new people and learning about new cultures. Back in the days, English was my favorite subject just because I was much better than the others in English. And it was finally, I had my, it was an occasion for me to shine in front of everyone and do something really well. because all the other subjects were in Italian and I was struggling a bit. And I have to say sports was my least favorite one, because when I was younger at my international school, sports was something that you could pick yourself and decide what you wanted to do. Instead, at the Italian school, it was like mandatory 1 month of basketball, 1 month of baseball, 1 month of volleyball. And being forced to do a specific thing was always a bit difficult for me. So that was my least favorite subject.
Changing environments is such a difficult process to go through. Do you remember receiving any advice from the people around you, maybe siblings, other family members?
Not really.
And were you able to pick yourself up and have some kind of self-talk to cope with the situation?
No, not really. It was, I was so affected by understanding that I was different, because like when you're 11, 12, 13, you don't really know what's happening. I think nowadays kids know, but back in the days, we were not so aware of our surroundings. So for me, I was struggling to understand, was I the problem? Were they the problem? Like, why was there so much difference? And why was a difference a problem? Why was it a problem that I had an accent? Why was it a problem that I didn't have their same religion? Why was it a problem that someone from a different religion goes to religious school, you know? Because the values are the same between the religions. So for me, it wasn't an issue. I didn't see the differences. I think the fact of going from kindergarten to middle school in an international school where difference is such a big and important and special thing, that for me, I had struggles understanding why am I now in a place where everyone is the same and I also have to adapt. And so no, not really. No special tips from anyone. I just adapted, and it took me some years, but I did adapt.
Thank you for sharing. And now if there is a mini Layla out there, someone who's relating to what you're saying, what kind of advice would you give them to cope with the situation?
I would say, I would suggest her to be herself. I think I had such a strong personality when I was younger, but then those 3 years of middle school, really, I became much more introverted. I was always in the backseat. I think I had also lower self-esteem. And it was all as a result of feeling different. If I saw myself now, it would be like, wow, that's so special that you're so different. You should use that as an advantage. I learned that later on. My friends, when you find good friends, they teach you, I think, these kind of things. And when they spot you for being different and they want to be your friend because you're different, then you're like, okay, so maybe it's not such a bad thing that I'm different. Maybe I don't have to hide it. Maybe it doesn't have to be a secret. So I wish I just was myself. I think I would be much more natural if I just didn't change myself or try to change myself.
Hopefully that reaches the people who need to hear it the most. And you just mentioned that you were not confident at the time, and I would love for us to discuss it slightly later on how to build confidence. Regarding grades, so we understand clearly that English was your favorite subject because you had great grades, and sports not so much. But would you say for the remaining classes, you still had decent grades? How did it look like?
Yeah, exactly. Like at that age, I was also trying to look good in front of the priests and nuns and everything, and trying to be good at school. And that's also part of fitting in. So studying, being good with your, being good at tests, exams, and just trying to not look either extremely good or extremely bad, but being somewhere in the middle so no one can spot you, you know? So I think I was doing well, but mostly because I just wanted to fit in and no one to call out on me and be like, hey, why didn't you study for this exam, you know? So I think that was those were my school habits back in the days.
And what did you do after the school hours? Did you have any passions, any habits, activities you were doing with some friends, family members?
I was traveling a lot with my family. I was visiting a relative. So most of my relatives live in Germany, Switzerland, France. So I would travel to visit them. And that was mostly done on the weekends. There was a lot of traveling to Zurich or to Frankfurt to see my grandparents, my cousins, uncles. And in my free time, like, I would spend a lot of time reading. And also I was getting into fashion. So I would buy these magazines back in the days in Germany. I would collect them. So I was trying to go at least every couple of months in Germany to buy this magazine called In Style. And I was collecting all of them. It was in German, so I didn't quite understand, but that helped me. I was curious enough to force myself to understand certain things and then looking certain words and certain things on the internet and trying to just understand most of the texts. And I was always imagining myself one day being on those magazines. That never happened. Won't happen, probably. But I was passionate, and I would, from reading to just like novels and books to magazines, and I spent most of my time like that. I was also very big on, from my passion from fashion, it also started to like wanting myself to write about it and to talk about it. Even though I didn't have a lot of knowledge, I just wanted to share the things that I would learn and read about. So I opened a forum, would you call it like that? And then I opened the website. So those were the things that I was interested in, vlogs and forums and websites and just talking and writing and posting. So, and that all started around the age of 14. So it was like the end of middle school and the beginning of high school.
How did reading impact your life at the time?
A way to maybe escape real life and reality, but it was also like, I could read in English. So I was living in Italy, and that was connecting me to my childhood years. So I could read in English and I can reconnect to those years probably. But it also excited me to have specific books that were maybe not available in Italy. So to travel to a specific place and then have a book there that I couldn't find back home. So to have something special. And I think it was mostly that. And I think with the years at middle school that I started spending time on my own, then it was also like reading is something that you can do completely alone. You don't need like a group of friends to do it. You don't need like to have all your family around. So it's something that you kind of become independent on your own. You don't need anyone else to do it. So I think I like that. It gave me some independence.
You're absolutely right, Leda. And I do have a question about your decision to build an amazing forum, something of your own around an interest of yours, which was fashion. My question is, how do you build the confidence to initiate something that is visible externally, or just trust that you have enough to share and that your voice should be heard?
When I was writing on my blog, I always thought that no one would ever read what I was writing, mm-hmm. and that it was only for me. It was just practice before I became a writer, before I became famous. So for me, it was just I would write and no one would ever know and no one would end up on my blog. Things went differently then, but I didn't know. So that gave me the confidence to start writing, because I was like, no one's going to ever read about this. So why not do it?
I think that's such a great approach to anything. Just put it out there. If it catches, well, that was meant to be. That's great. It means that probably that resonated with way more people than you thought it could. And if it doesn't catch, as you said, it's practice. That's great for you.
Exactly. And I think I never thought about it in the way that you just said it. But that's a lot of things that I do are like that. Like, I just do it. It might work. It might not. I just try it out. So sometimes it will just be something that maybe lasted a half a day, but at least I tried something. So I think that's mostly how I approach life.
And that's such a great approach to anything in life, because you don't have any regrets. You just try it out and you learn throughout. And to wrap up on those years, Leila, I would love for us to discuss your level of curiosity. There are two things that you mentioned. First, obviously, your curious mind in your travels and how you approach your travels, and everything on fashion, how you didn't understand what was written on those German magazines, but you were still curious to learn a little bit more and go for them every time you were traveling there. Do you know how your curiosity was born? I know this is a big, big question, but I would love for us to understand how you became a curious human being.
I do not have the answer for that. I think I always wanted to find out things. So the reason why I opened the forum was because there was a guy in my class back in the days, and this was like seventh grade, so second year of middle school in Italy. And he created a forum for the guys in my class. And I was like a bit jealous. And I was like, how can he do it? And why can't I do it? So I just tried to figure it out. So I was curious enough to understand how to figure it out. And I was really passionate about George Clooney back in the day. So I was like, okay, I just looked things up and asked around to make it happen. And I didn't have the knowledge. But by asking around and seeing how things are done, like without prepping a lot, but just getting on the computer, trying to go on that website and seeing how to open things and just looking around, I managed to do it.
This is a brilliant mindset to have. You have been a go-getter forever. And I love how you were thinking at the time is that if he can do it, I can do it. I can find a solution on how to reach that goal. So my question to you is, how do you think you became like that? To see opportunities everywhere instead of limits? Do you think you can spot a moment in your life or some kind of trigger which is now allowing you, which has been allowing you to think like that, to be empowered?
I think this also has roots in being from Afghanistan, and my dad became an entrepreneur, and it was always so difficult for Italians to understand that we came from a specific kind of background, but still made it. So I think that kind of could have given me the courage and the push to just get things done, even though people think you can't, even though maybe it's not something usually a girl would do, you know? So if someone thought she can't be a geek, you know, she's not that kind of person, then I wanted to prove them wrong. I think proving people wrong is something that was always kind of like trying to guide me in my life. It was not planned, but it was maybe within me of trying to prove people that I could do this, that I could do what they think that I couldn't do, you know, and both as a female, as a immigrant, as someone with a very diverse background, as a Muslim, as an Afghan. So I think proving people wrong is something that I'm passionate about, and that could have been back in the days the push for me.
This is so inspiring, Leila. Thank you for sharing. So this is a call to action to you. Try following her steps. Only think about the process. Think about the learnings. Think about the failures and the learnings again. Just try, try, and try again. Let's talk now about the second part of your teenage life. What can you tell us about your high school experience? Were you still interested in some specific classes? How were your grades? What were your passions, maybe? Or did you take your passion to the next level? What can you tell us about those years?
I had a big shift from middle school to high school. luckily or unfortunately, I don't know, but there was this big shift. I wasn't the best student, let's say, back in the days. I was always going against the rules and I was being bossy and trying to be cool. Of course, I had my favorite subjects and those were definitely easy ones for me. I was really into English again, into German. Most of my relatives, because they lived in Germany, I really wanted to learn their language and understand what they were saying. So passionate about those. And philosophy was also something that was very new to me. So interested also about that. And then I had some other subjects that I was not that interested to. And the professors that I had in those classes were not the greatest. I think a teacher, a professor really shapes how you see that specific subject. And I think it's really important to be a great teacher, but sometimes that's not the case. So I think I took everything very personal. So I was like, okay, he's not a great man. So why should I study his subject, you know? And that was a wrong mindset. Now I can see it. And I met my Italian teacher last week. And she was so sweet. And she has now retired. And she said so many nice things to me. And I was like, Leila, you should have studied that subject. And she wasn't that bad as you thought, you know. Of course, people change. It could be that now she's much better. But I was like, why did I take it so personally, you know? I could have had less discussions and just study and do what I had to do and just call it a day instead of being a drama queen.
It is so difficult to have a teacher who is unable to transmit their passion for the subject. And if it feels like the person doesn't want to be here, so some of us can get impacted by that. And one can think that, what's the point of being here? What's the point of learning? What's the point of listening? But in the contrary, you should try your best to either learn during that time or find solution after hours to learn that subject better. Because the only thing you can control is your learning process and what do you do with the situation you're in. Because obviously, we cannot just vote for the teacher to change and have a new one. So Leila, do you have any advice on how to manage those kind of situations, or what would you have done differently yourself?
I couldn't have done anything differently. I think I was just shaped in that moment of life in that specific way, and I didn't have the means that I have now. But if I could see what my cousins are doing and my younger cousins, and if I could give them advice, it would be just to, like, yes, it is possible that you don't have a great professor or that the professor doesn't treat you that well. Could be any reason, maybe your personality, just you don't vibe. Maybe they don't like where you're from or how you talk, how you speak, how you dress. It's to not take it personally and to do it your own way. Are you into history? That professor is not great. Okay. Go home, use ChatGPT, go to the library, get a bunch of books and become passionate about that thing on your own terms. Because there are so many things you can do in your life on your own terms and you don't know. You're like, okay, it's only like that. And if I don't like it like that, what do I do? I just give up? No, you should still do it and just do it your own way. You know, I was into reading. I could have just bought a book about that specific period of history in English that I was much more passionate learning in English than in Italian. And then I could have just made it mine, you know?
Yes. Go to the library. Do the extra work. And you know what? You're actually getting ready for what higher education is all about. You need to work more. You're being shared a lot of information. You're being taught a lot of elements. But you still have to put the extra work on the side. And you know what? In the meantime, during this process, during this very challenging time for you, you're learning what is your studying style. And I think you're learning also something that is going to follow you all throughout your life, is that you will always be facing people who are not vibing, as you just said, with you, or they're not going to meet the expectation that you have from them. So what do? You just take it in your own hands to find solutions. And you try your best. And to wrap up on those years, Leila, what can you tell us about your habits and passions outside of school? Were you still traveling? Were you still working on your passion projects around fashion? What can you share with us?
I was still traveling, not that often, but I was still traveling to the same specific countries that I had relatives in. Back in the days, traveling was not as easy as it is today. I was still into writing and blogging. I took it a step further. I changed the name of my blog. I made it a bit more fun. I started to talk about it with people. So I was not hiding it as it was a secret anymore. I would write on the blackboards the name of the blog because I wanted people to go visit it. When I met new people, I would say that I'm doing that. So it became kind of like my branding. And that gave me a lot of opportunities to go to concerts for free, to go to fashion shows. So it opened kind of like my world into fashion even more, but also into music and cinema and just any kind of interesting event in Milan, I would be invited. And back in the days, having a blog was, it was still at the beginning of when the blogs were becoming successful and something people would follow a lot. So of course it was easier for me because it was still early and there were not a lot of blogs. Nowadays it would be much more difficult, but I would spend literally every day writing for it or doing something fun because of it. So it opened a lot of doors for me.
That's incredible. So tell us more. Did you think at the time that it would be your career path? Were you just doing it for fun? What was your thought process at that time?
I thought at the beginning that that could be a career path because that's something that was fun for me to do. And we didn't have content creators or influencers that much. So it was more like I would see it as fashion journalism. And that's how I still would call it, you know. So I thought that I could do that. And however, going to a lot of events and meeting a lot of people, I somehow then was like, maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe I'm just too young for this. So I kind of like doubted myself in the last years. But definitely at the beginning, that was something that I thought. And I met people from very different walks of life. And I was like, okay, so this is a place for everyone. It's like a melting pot of very diverse creatives all getting together. And Fashion Week was my favorite weeks in Milan. We had four of them during the year. And I was always so excited. And my goal every year was to get invited by the the most famous fashion shows. And that I didn't get to that yet. But going to all the press presentations and to all the events and getting to know these people was very eye-opening to me. And at the same time, I was like, yes, interesting, fun, but can I be that person? Can I make a living out of it? That for me was a big question mark. Now it's very easy to find out because you can just Google it and there are journalists and influencers talking about how much money they make and how they can make a living out of it. But back in the days, it was not very obvious. So I didn't know if that was something sustainable or if it was just something that I could do for a couple of years and then I had to change.
So what's your biggest learning through that whole experience?
So in order to be a blogger, especially if you don't have the audience, I didn't have the audience yet. I had some following. Most of it were people that were kind of connected to me. So not my friends, but maybe the friends of my friends and that kind of connection. Once there was a DJ duo who came to Milan and a friend of mine was obsessed with them. And they are called Digitalism. And I had to send an email to ask if I could go backstage to interview them. I would do these kind of things. And then they asked something that that no one ever asked me before. And they were like, how are your numbers? Can you send us some proof of like how your blog is doing? So this was someone from their team, not them directly. And then I had to like reply in a much more convincing way because I didn't have those numbers. And I tried to fake it a bit. And I was like, fake it until you make it, you know? But then I also had to do some convincing and promising them a certain kind of like coverage after the concert. And I managed to get it. But the deal took so long that I didn't plan myself that well. So in the end, I didn't even go to that event, to the concert, because I didn't have a car. So I had to organize myself with like my parents to pick me up, take me to the train station, pick me up back. Like it was a whole thing that wasn't that easy to organize as I can do it now because I have my own car. And I didn't manage to do it in the end, but the fake confidence that I built in those emails, sometimes I just go back and read them and I'm like, listen, I did this. I managed to do it when I was 17, 16. Why can't I do it now? You know?
Absolutely. Great call out. Fake it till you make it. You never know what can happen. Leila, let's now jump into your bachelor's program. So your higher education. Can you tell us why you made a specific choice? Did you stay in the same city? Why did you choose to pursue that instead of something else?
So when I had to decide which university I had to go to, I was struggling a lot because I was passionate about politics and human rights. And I always thought I would do something like that when I grow up. But then when I got to the end of my high school year and I had to make a decision that summer, I was very confused because in Italy, we don't have a counselor at school that would help you understand what you're good at, what you could do, what you couldn't do, and how universities work. So I was the first one in my family who started going to university. So my parents didn't study. And a lot of my relatives didn't study, so it was a bit hard to get some help. A lot of my friends also had parents who hadn't studied, so making a decision wasn't something easy. I had made some research, and I understood that if you become a lawyer, you couldn't move away from where you were living, because then you had to take more exams and try to make your degree valid in that specific country. So I knew that I wanted to travel. I knew that I wanted to help people. And I didn't want to do political science. I wasn't sure. My sister was doing the same. So I was like, let's not study the same thing. So I was very confused. And that confusion took a long time. So my decision to study in the end business and languages was something that I decided on the day that we had the deadline to pick the university. So I just went on different websites of the universities the whole summer. And at one point it was the deadline. And I knew that my family really wanted me to do business. And I did not want to do that. But I also knew that I couldn't do law and I couldn't do political science because my sister was doing it. So I was kind of stuck and I didn't know what to do. And then I saw a course that looked interesting that I didn't see the whole summer, which was business and languages. And I was like, okay, I have a big passion for cultures and languages, and that part would excite me. And then I have the whole business part that I will probably mostly hate. So this would be something that I could do to make both my family happy and myself. I could do it for a year. And then if it doesn't work out, which is kind of how I do everything, I'm like, let's just try it. If it doesn't work out, then I can change next year because now it's too late. So either decide today or I can't study this year. So that's what I did. And it was open. You didn't have to do any tests to get in. That's the case in most of universities in Italy. Apart from medical school, everything else is quite open. So that's how I made the decision. So it's not very philosophical and it's not very planned. It was just like, very logical back in the days. I was like, okay, I don't know what I want to do. This is something that would make everyone happy. And both things seem kind of useful for the future. So let's just see how it goes.
And how did your studies go?
I just stuck with it. And the reason was, so my friends who did study law did not have a social life, did not have a life whatsoever. So I was like, I don't think I can do that. You know, I still had my passion. So I still kept doing the whole blogging thing, which I strictly wanted to keep as a passion because a lot of people were like, why don't you do that? And I'm like, that's my passion. So I kept it as a passion and I kept traveling. So I was like, if I do study law, I can't do these things. So I need to give up on the things that I like because I might have a job that I like. I might have a job that I like in 10 years. So I wasn't ready to do that. I wasn't strategic enough to think like that. And I was like, okay, let's continue doing it. And my first year, I didn't do a lot of exams. The few that I did, though, I had great grades. So still a bit confused and not knowing what to do, I was like, okay, let's go on Erasmus and maybe there I'll learn more about what other people are doing. I can be more inspired. I learned German finally really well. So I was like, okay, let's go for that. I applied for it and it happened like 8 months later, they let me know that I got the scholarship and I could go on Erasmus. I think nowadays it's much easier, but back in the days, it was not everyone could just apply and go on Erasmus. So you had to have like good grades and you had to be lucky. I think luck also plays a big role in this. And I applied to German universities. So I think if I applied to Spain or somewhere more fun, I wouldn't have gotten it. But because I applied also to Germany, I think it was also something that Italians would rather not go to. So I just applied to that and I got the position and it was so fun. Best year of my life, absolutely. And I was 21 back in the days, or 20. And it was just so much fun. And I became a big fan of the country, the culture, the people. And I was like, I'm going to live here when I'm older. And it opened my eyes to Germany and the German culture and was very useful for me. And also the feeling of getting a scholarship, it's always very nice.
Absolutely. And how did your grades look like? Did you work more than when you were in high school? How was your experience in the studying field?
In high school, I was forced to do certain things. And I think at university, you're much more free. You can decide when to give exams, how to give them. And at least in Italy, that's the case. So you have these 12 classes to take in a specific year. And then it's up to you if you want to give all those 12 exams or if you just want to give a couple of them. So having a lot of freedom really helped me. So I picked the exams that I wanted to do. I picked the classes that I wanted to do. And those other classes that I didn't like, I would just study on my own terms and on my own at home, which is also very comfortable. So having a lot of freedom made me want to do stuff well. And that also helped me to get picked for Erasmus. So I kind of like planned it in a way that not to stress myself too much, but also that I was like, it's a new city, it's a new school, let's do stuff well. That didn't last too long though, but at least I started really well.
Erasmus is definitely a life-changing program. And if you've never heard of it, please do your own research on the program. You can learn what it takes to join it. You can learn how much does it cost in a country to actually take part of the program. But also you can learn exactly what are the financial supports that can be received once you apply. And lastly, you heard Leila's POV, but what are the other POVs out there per country if you're not interested in Germany, for example? How does it work in Italy, Leila? Do you get to do internship during your bachelor's?
No, absolutely. I think that's something that Italian universities lack is the work experience. I think in Italy, we start working really late. Usually you do your bachelor, you also do your master's, and then you start to work. So it's always postponed a lot. And so during my bachelor, I didn't have any mandatory internships. I had it only during my my master's, and before that, nothing. So it was a lot of people start working actually at the age of 27, 28, which I think it's something that should be changed. Hopefully it has changed. I don't know how it is right now, but back in the days, there was no mandatory internship.
That's so interesting. So actually having something on your side, which is your own, that you create from scratch, is helping you build some skills that you need once you go for that first job, you go for that first internship or anything else. And can you update us about the blog that you are running? So were you learning more skills? Were you evolving it? Did it change in any way?
Definitely, yeah. And my blog went from being a fashion blog to becoming a lifestyle blog. So I also recruited, let's say, six of my friends living in different parts of the world. And they were also writing on the blog. It became eventually a website, let's say, on the website, and they were writing articles about the specific topics that they were either studying in university or they were doing as a job. So I had these different friends located in from the US to Turkey to Afghanistan writing on the blog, and it felt very, very good to be like a bunch of international people. But that also meant I kind of like lost the ownership of it. Which then eventually killed the blog and the website during the years, and now it's non-existent anymore, you know?
And looking back at those past years, how do you build the confidence to go for things, to move to another country, to launch your own thing, to just trust yourself that things can go either the right way or you can just learn through it? How do you build the confidence there?
Difficult. I think the decision to go work in Germany was a natural one, given the great experience that I had during my Erasmus. Like, I was waiting the whole time to finish my studies and move to Germany. So this was like my plan. But then, okay, bachelor is done. Everyone is doing their masters. I need to do my masters. And then I did my master's. I was done. The moment that I was done, I moved to Germany and I went to work for Hugo Boss. And that was for me, like, I was so happy. Like, I was like, I made it. Like, success. So it was like my goal. I reached it. And it was, I thought, like, this is everything that I want. So perfect. I'm going to live in Germany forever. And I'm going to do this forever. I'm going to work in fashion. And I'm going to be happy in Germany. And I don't think I had to like build courage to do that. I was just, it didn't feel forced. Not the first time that I went to Germany. Forced, I felt like the second time that I went. But the first time that I went, it was out of just passion and again, curiosity of seeing how would it be to live there. So I make this change. I moved to Stuttgart, which is exactly where I also did my Erasmus. But I realized that everyone that I did my Erasmus with was not there anymore. So it was very different to work in a specific place compared to just study there and having a good time, because working is much more energy consuming. So what I had thought it would be, it was a bit different. It was very interesting at work per se. But living on my own in Stuttgart was not what I thought it would be. So at one point, I went back. So it's always okay in life to just go back, you know, and be like, okay, this is not what I thought it would be. Let's go back home. So then I went back to Italy. I had some work experiences there. But I realized that in Germany, even though when I was at Hugo Boss, I was kind of like an assistant, an intern. But I had much more freedom at work compared to Italy. So I could take so many big decisions, even though I was in a big fashion company. And in Italy, it was a bit different. So I was like, I'm missing that kind of responsibility and freedom to take decisions and to be in a, not in the front row, not in the way of like having to decide for everyone, but just being in a situation where what you do has actually an impact and you're not just working in the backseat and do something that is like less important just because you're younger. Doesn't mean that you don't have, let's say, the chance to grow in a specific environment, but also you can take risks and you can do something that someone more senior can also do. And that in Italy is a bit lacking. I think hierarchy is very big here and you have to kind of be on your lane and not look at what other people are doing and not think that you can take bigger decisions. So that's why then I went back to Germany a couple of years later, 1 year later, I think I just went back. And this time I moved to Munich. And this time it took courage because I was like, okay, I'm not happy. What should I do? There is no way out. So I can't change an entire system, but I can change my own situation. So I packed my bags and I left again. And that was during COVID. It was the year that COVID started. So it was also a year where everything was a little bit confusing for everyone. So it wasn't as easy as it happened for me when I went to Hugo Boss, because I went from excitement and I was like just looking forward to everything. And this time it was like, you're afraid and also you're not allowed to talk to everyone. People are wearing masks and everyone is not trusting everyone. So it was a very different experience, which turned to be also very interesting and very nice. And the company that I was at, it was very international. So I met people from all over the world, which was amazing. And it turned out to be good in the end, but not the easiest path, let's say.
I think there are two things that you need to remember. The first thing, and you've heard it in different episodes as well, dare to try. Trust yourself. If you try, you'll just get to know what works for you and what doesn't. The second thing is, you need skills. Hard, soft, you need them. And you need them for two reasons. Some of them will give you the freedom of space, so to move to another country. And the second type will just allow you to move from one sector to another, to one type of job or another. As we all know, it's very difficult to make your own decision on what to do, long term, short term. But only the skills you have are empowering you to change your mind and be the one choosing. And if you don't know where to look, what skills to have, I did share an episode on the skills of 2030. So go back to that one and look into all the research that I linked. Let's now talk about your master's program. Can you tell us what did you choose? What did you do? But as well as your first experience, can you tell us about it?
My master's program was in management for global businesses, and it was like a mix between business and sustainability. So it was the beginning of those years where people were getting interested in sustainability. So it kind of felt like a natural choice because I still wanted to be in the same university. I wanted to be in the same city. And I looked at the programs that there were available, and this sounded like the newest and the one which was a bit out of the box. So I was like, okay, this sounds like something interesting, and I could go for it. Again, not a lot of planning, same as my bachelor. I know there were people who were thinking about it a year in advance, but for me it was like, let's see what is available. And between all of them, this sounds like the most interesting. So let's pick it.
And to this day, we still need experts in that space. So there are countless master's programs which are so different from each other, which are still tackling the challenges that we're facing with climate change. So if you're remotely interested or curious about it, feel free to just both the different master's program in the country you're in or in foreign countries where you can probably find financial support to get there. Can you tell us about the experience that you were mentioning there, the internship that you got?
When I was during my bachelor studies, I realized that I didn't have any work experience. So I started to apply to some internship opportunities. And I was like, okay, I'm now doing this whole blogging thing. So maybe it could be something related to that. So it could be also easier for me and it doesn't have to be like a big shift. And I saw this opening as during my blogging years, I met a lot of people working in PR because those were the people who were inviting me to the events. So I was like, maybe I can do something in PR. I saw a job posting about an internship in PR, and that was in my like university dashboard for jobs. So I was lucky enough to have access to that. And I applied. I went to the interview and I found out that it was something very different than what I thought. So it said that it was related to PR and I knew that it was related to music. I just didn't know that it meant to be an assistant to a guy who is now a famous singer. Back in the days, he was quite popular, but not that famous yet. And internships are unpaid in Italy. So it meant being available 24/7 as an assistant to the singer for 3 months. I was really excited and I was like, that's going to be amazing. And he made me realize that a lot of companies in Italy and probably in other countries use you as an intern, but make you do like a lot of other stuff that they just don't want to pay someone full time to do it. So being his assistant was probably not the best that I could aspire to. So then I went back into the research and I started applying to other things. And one of them was in PR for a PR company, which was working with aviation. And I interviewed for it. And the person who was interviewing me was also from a very mixed background. And I think we connected because of that, because I didn't have a lot of knowledge. So then why pick me, you know? And I talked about my blog, but you know, you're a PR company. So what do you care about my blog? So I don't think that was what made him pick me, but it worked. So he picked me. I started doing the PR internship and I learned a lot about aviation, completely new. So that was why I was very excited and it turned out to be very interesting. However, PR was something that was connected to my blogging years, but in a whole different environment. So I was like, okay, maybe I should try PR, but in fashion. It sounds a bit more doable and also I might be even better at it. And that's why then I ended up at Hugo Boss, because that was like a fashion company. And I thought the internship was in PR. Turns out it wasn't PR, it was in digital marketing. But that was the reason why I picked Hugo Boss, which was very controversial back in the days, because I always said I didn't want to do fashion as a job. It was only just my passion. But then it just happened and it was also great timing. And then it was in Stuttgart. I was going to go back to Germany. So it fit really well. And that's why I went for it.
If you need to remember one thing from those experiences here, or at least my advice would be to you, is to focus on a role which you can do wherever. Meaning if today you want to work in a specific space, let's say sustainability, well, maybe in a few years from now, you want to move away and work in fashion, or you want to work in aviation. I think what would be great is for you to be able to adapt and not to be stuck into one specific area or domain or skill set, because we learned through the research from the OECD, the European Commission, and other institutions, is that we will need to adapt. So let's start adapting by adapting our skills and the field we are trying to study. And Leila, what did you like the most about those experiences and the least?
I think what I liked the most in all of the past experiences I had was the environment that I was working in, and especially if it was like a multicultural environment. I think that comes from being in a very multicultural place when I was younger, then moving to a place where there were not a lot of international people. And then again, being in that situation was very, very nice for me, and getting to talk to different people and understand what their families do, what they do, how they ended up in a specific place, and getting inspired by other people's stories. Because I sometimes think that I ended up in specific workplaces or situations just because it just randomly happened, but it wasn't maybe a strategic idea or move from my side. So trying to get to know those people in those places was very inspirational for me, especially if they were from different backgrounds compared to mine.
Does explain your next step. You moved to Ireland for a new role. And can you tell us a little bit about it? And why did you make this move?
So when I started working in digital marketing at Hugo Boss, I understood that that was something that excited me. I think it sits in the middle between creativity and technology, which were the things that were interesting for me growing up. And I didn't know that I wanted to do that as a job. That was just a way to go back to Stuttgart and get to learn about fashion. But then I found myself to be much more interested in marketing than in fashion. So I was like, okay, maybe this is something that I could do. So I didn't have like a clear plan or a clear idea. I just thought that this could be something interested, since I've always been fascinated by people and how people make decisions. So what influences them, how they engage with content, how they are convinced to make a purchasing decision. And I was like, okay, this is digital marketing. This is marketing. And let's just learn more about this. So then my future decisions of like workplaces were related to work experiences were related to that. And my experience in Dublin was very positive, and I learned even more about digital marketing, since Meta is like the epitome of digital marketing. And I was in a very international environment, which was a great thing again for me. And I learned so much from everyone that I met. And I try to take something from everyone, and then try to also be a bit more intentional. So I meet someone, they do something that I like. Why don't I do also something like that? So just trying to grow more as a person by meeting the different people that I had the chance of meeting while working at Meta.
And during that experience, can you share with us the skills you developed, the valuable skill that you can use in your new role, but also in any other experience?
That's a great question. I think the digital marketing role that I thought I would have in Dublin was much more salesy than I thought, which actually meant that I would learn so many new skills that were related to my passions, being with people, but also this time convincing them. So it was not just about being curious enough to learn about them, but also actively listening to them and understand what their issues were and how I could actually solve those issues with my products. So I think it was still connected to what I had passions in the past, but this time I needed a few more skills that I didn't think I had. Probably I had them within me, more passive. I just needed to activate them, and in a way that it's for business, for work, and not for just networking and getting to know people. So especially convincing people and having to also educate people on certain products was something that I thought that I wouldn't be that good at, but instead it was something that I started enjoying, and I realized that it was, again, being with people and having to deal with getting to know people and understanding people and putting myself into their shoes. And I think that's what clicked for me and make it work and made me be good at it, which I didn't think I could.
I love how you built confidence and you developed incredible skills. And do you think that your new job is allowing you to develop new ones, or it's more continuity of what you have been doing in the past years?
I think it's the first time that I'm applying the different skills of the different jobs that I had. You need to be a bit more driven in your career. At least that's what usually people are. And I'm trying to understand how to do that without losing myself. So I still have my passions. I still have my values. But I also want to be a bit more, I want to be called an expert in a specific thing. So I think now putting together everything that I've learned and trying to master them would be useful for me, but also something that could be useful with the people that I'm working with and my clients. So I'm just trying to be a bit more strategic in regards to the things that I know how to do and how to be even better in them.
And sharing content online is one of them, right? Can you tell us about your blogging journey now, how it looks like, and how can we find it?
Yeah, for sure. So I started, as I said, when I was like 13, 14, and it started with my passions back in the days, which was fashion. And then it went more into music. And then it became a bit more lifestyle, where we had some philosophical stuff in it, also cooking stuff, traveling, a bit of everything. And then I had to stop during my master's because I really wanted to do my master's well. And I stopped that. And a few years later, I was like, I wish I didn't, because I had a following. I had something interesting going on. And I could just like, it could have changed based on, you know, the personality that changes during the years. I just didn't, I felt a bit bad that I closed it off. And of course, the personality changes, the passion changes during the years. So I wanted to start again this year, but I didn't know what I could talk about because I was not that interested into fashion anymore. And I was not that interested into music anymore. Or events and anything going on in Milan. However, there are different topics that I'm interested in right now. So I found myself thinking about these things a lot. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can start writing about them instead of talking about it with my friends and family who are annoyed now with everything that I'm talking about and always being monotematic. So I was like, okay, if I am monotematic, then that would be actually a good thing for a blog. And then I thought about social media, and I think Instagram is a very interesting tool. So I decided to move my idea from a blog into an Instagram account. And I opened an Instagram account about it, and it's called The Souk. And I try to talk about businesses and artists, fashion again, and anything that is interesting happening in the Suana region, the MENA and Suana region. And I think with some things happening in the last years, there's been some of a kind of like a pattern of dehumanization of people from those specific regions. So having a platform where you can talk about it and showing that there are things happening in these places, which are different than just poverty and war, it helps them understand that there's so much more to find out. So it would be worth it to travel to those places and to meet people from those places. And I hope that by talking about specific topics, I could just spark some interest in some people to just find out more and make them their own research. And let's see. It's just the beginning. So let's see what happens with it. But right now, I'm quite happy with it. And I don't have this urge of wanting to do something so big as I did when I was a young blogger. I just do it for myself and for the few people who are like following me. And I hope that it could spark some positive conversations.
So the Instagram handle is at thesouk, so T-H-E-S-O-U-K. And there is way more than just a few followers. Congratulations, Leila, for building such a great space. We are all learning so much from that region. And to close this episode, what last advice can you share with us, either that the younger version of yourself would have loved to hear, or any version of yourself?
My advice is what I would give myself right now too. Like, I don't think it's for like just a specific moment of your life, but I think it could be applied anytime, is to do what you're deeply passionate about. So it won't feel like working at all. I couldn't become a human rights lawyer, but I try to do something connected to that every once in a while, helping people and trying to be useful in that sense. And that fools me. I can't go back in time. But if you're deciding what to do in your career, I would suggest to sit with yourself sometime, think about everything you're good at and your passions, and I don't know, write them all down and then look at those and start deciding what to study or what to do in your career based on those. And that could change, that could shift. I was into fashion and then it completely changed a couple of years later. So, and that can also change for yourself. Like when you decide what to study, that doesn't mean that you have to do that as a job too. So it could be connected, but it could also be something that changes throughout your career. So the different positions that you have are not connected to a specific degree that you have. It could be just also based on something that is interesting for you in that specific moment of your life.
Keep your options open. Thank you so much, Leila. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the advice. Wishing you all the best for your new role and for the Suki.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. And please don't forget to subscribe and follow us whether you're listening to the podcast. And I'll see you next week.